mentioned at the beginning of the service and a couple times since, I guess, we begin our stewardship exploration. And if you were able to look at the front of your bulletin, you might see where we're going to head. Today is an acorn. We're going to talk about a seed. Next week, we're talking about a seedling. And the third week, we'll talk about a tree. And then, of course, the purpose of a tree, according to a lot of what Jesus says in the New Testament, is to bear fruit, to be what it was meant to do and be. So we are going to aim towards that. I'm going to start with a quote this morning, which speaks to me a little bit about the acorn, which is not the smallest of the seeds like the mustard, but it still is a seed. And its intention is to grow into a mighty oak. The quote is actually from William Arthur Ward, and it says the following. Often the most useful Christians are those who serve their master in little things. Let me read that part over again, because it's longer, but I want to focus on that. Often the most useful Christians are those who serve their master in the little things. He never despises the day of small things, or else he would not hide his oaks in tiny acorns, or the wealth of a wheat field in bags of little seeds. Faith sees a beautiful blossom in a bulb, a lovely garden in a seed, and a giant oak in an acorn. Our first week as we venture into stewardship is about us giving of our faith. Sometimes it seems that the world around us is a little bit challenging, maybe even too much for us to feel rather faithful. I'm sure that, you know, many of you have been through life circumstances where you have wondered, why and how and what and where. Have you ever had a garden in your yard? I'm sure I've told you this story because I'm absolutely humbled by it. But one time I had a really close friend when I lived in Yorktown who was a gardener, and he had the most fantastic garden in his backyard, and he would bring to church and hand out to everybody, you know, tomatoes and these big squash and zucchini and lettuce and all kinds of yummy stuff. And of course it was beautiful, and I thought to myself, I want that in my backyard. And I had a little small house, but I had a big backyard, and so I asked him if he would help me to learn how to garden. Do you remember? Have I told you the story? Do you remember it? Okay. So he comes over and he brings all of his tools and his supplies, and I was supposed to buy the seeds that I wanted to plant, and so I did that. And we get out there. Well, have you ever tilled a regular yard to be a garden? Have you ever? Holy moly, was that a lot of work. I had no idea. I was sweating and, you know, using this machine that, you know. Anyway, and then, you know, it gets to the point where the grass is gone, right? And he says, by the way, this topsoil stuff is not good. You have to go, you know, down in. So then he used this other tool that, like, takes the dirt up and, you know, and I had to do that, too. And I was like, wow, you know, this is a lot of work, you know. And so then he's like, okay, now we have to plant the seeds, and we have to plant the seeds in certain places. Like, you don't want some types of plants, like tomato plants, that kind of, like, take over to be, like, where you want, you know, these other things to grow. So he was, like, teaching me, you know, how to do. Okay. And then he's like, you have to put a lot of seeds down because some of them don't sprout. Okay, so put them, I'm like, really? So what if they all sprout? Then we'll have, like, whoa. He's like, they won't. So anyway, all right, so I went along, you know, and I put my little seeds in, you know, and then you cover them up, and then, you know, you have to put a little fertilizer stuff on it, right? And then you have to mark it off, because if you don't mark it off, guess who comes along? Deer. Did you ever know about deer in a garden? Apparently they ruin the garden sometimes if you don't mark it off. Right? So anyway, so we do all this stuff. And then he's like, and now you wait. And I was like, well, how long? And he's like, a long time. And I was like, okay. And he's like, and not only do you wait, you kind of have to till the garden. And I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, you'll see. And sure enough, grass and weeds and all kinds of stuff start coming up before the seeds, right? They're not sprouting. This other stuff is growing, like, rampantly. And you have to go out there and weed. Who knew? okay, obviously I'm humble before you, right? I knew nothing about gardening, obviously, right? And this very kind gentleman in the church was my teacher. Now, he grew up on the farm. It was all he ever knew, and it was who he was. And in the Bible, a lot of the stories that we read about are about farming and gardening and land. He came back to visit my beautiful garden a couple months later, and I saw him pulling into the driveway, and I think I ran into my bathroom and closed the door and pretended I was not home, because if you don't weed your garden, guess what happens to it? It becomes a garden of weeds. And it does not look pretty. And those other things try to grow up. And guess what happens to them? They get strangled up by these little wild, grassy, weedy things, okay? So my garden was not at all like his beautiful garden that had the squash and the lettuce, the tomatoes. And part of it was I was busy. You know, I work a lot, and I did then too. And, you know, I didn't have time to weed my garden. Now, I want to caution you a little bit here. The reason I'm belaboring the story is that the purpose of a seed is to become a mighty oak, this acorn, right? It's a lot of work. And I would love to tell you that it doesn't take any time and that it doesn't take any effort and that it doesn't matter what soil you're in, and it might even be fabulous just to say that you have to give a little bit of time, just a couple minutes a week, and that's it. But I'm going to tell you to think about me in that terrible garden experience when it comes to you and your faith. Because your faith is to be a mighty oak. And right now you're an acorn. Now let's think about what happens to a seed, right? We put it in the ground, and what happens? It gets covered up, right? It's covered up, and it's kind of in a moist, dark area, and it gets watered on. And sometimes there's other little seeds around you, right? Sometimes. But most of the time you're alone. And I really think the way your faith grows the most is when you're alone. Because God and you become close. And in those moments when we ask those questions that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, where, why, how, who, right? When we ask those questions, we are alone, even if we are surrounded by people, because we want the answers to the questions and the mysteries of life. And God doesn't always answer them very succinctly. I love what it says in the passage today. It says, Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told nothing. In other words, even when he told a story, like a parable, right? He didn't explain it. He kind of just told you the parable, and then he went away. And people are like, wait, what? What does that mean? What are you talking about, right? And as a matter of fact, this one, I was doing some research for today's sermon, and it said the greatest thing to do as a pastor is to just read the parable and then sit down. Because that's what Jesus would have done. And I was like, I think my church would love that, but I'm not going to do that. Anyway, you pay me to do something more than that, right? Anyway, but I think the reality is that Jesus' favorite thing to do was to tell stories and to have you do the work to figure out what they mean. So I'm going to read you a story about a little acorn, and it's going to be a parable for you, and we're going to think on it, okay? Once there was a beautiful acorn that grew on the topmost twig of a large oak tree. From a tiny speck of green in the spring, it grew until in the fall it became a large, beautiful brown acorn with a lustrous, shiny shell. Being the highest acorn on the mother tree, it was the first to see the sunrise in the morning and the last to see it set at night. In fact, it saw a great deal because of its exalted position. Birds perched there on the highest limb to escape boys' slingshots, and these birds brought endless news and chatter with them. The mockingbird, with its rich repertoire of songs, gave the acorn a wonderful knowledge about music. Migratory birds going south for the winter brought news of Arctic snows and tropical heat in places far away. The crows, the wisest of all the birds, cawed away in the high branches, giving forth words of wisdom passed on by generations of ancestors. The acorn never ceased to be amazed at their knowledge. Indeed, this little acorn was the smartest, best educated, and proudest acorn in the whole tree. And there were thousands of acorns with them. The acorn looked down on its brothers and sisters, that is, when it gave them any thought at all. And one chilly fall day, something terrible happened. This sounds kind of like a fairy tale if you think about it. It says, the winds blew and the rains fell, right? I mean, that's like the three pigs. Hundreds of acorns fell to the ground. Our topmost acorn was terribly alarmed. It had presumed that life would go on forever, each day better than the previous one. Truly frightened, it asked the mother tree, "Mother, must I fall too?" "Yes, my child," the mother tree whispered gently. "All acorns must fall to the ground. When I was an acorn, I fell too. Though you might not think so by looking at my strong branches now. You might be wise to let go and fall now instead of waiting to be blown off and maybe landing poorly. But that's up to you." The ground was so far down and so many big limbs were in between. And besides, who wanted to abandon such a perfect position? Especially when the birds were flying south full of the latest news. It clung closely to the twig and several hard rains came down. Sorry, my font's too small for me today. Its holds became weaker and weaker. One day Mother Tree said, "You better go now, my child, and may God bless you." The little acorn looked down. How far away the ground looked. And what dangers were lurking there. It grew dizzy and faint from just looking. And it closed its eyes and it said a prayer. And it let go. Whoosh! The air whistled past. And then it landed softly on the brown leaves below. And life below was no bed of roses. Cows trampled the ground, crushing many acorns with their hard, heavy hoofs. Pigs came and ate literally thousands of them, cruelly crunching their beautiful shells and eating the sweet meat that laid inside. Squirrels picked up the hundreds of others, bearing them off to some dreadful hiding place. Our little acorn, frightened as it was, kept very still. It managed to roll under a leaf and escape detection, and finally snow covered the ground and all dangers ceased. The acorn fell into a long and drowsy sleep, and spring came. The snow melted, and the sun rose higher, and the acorn awoke, and the poor thing, its once lovely shell was now dull and ugly, but it was alive. And then its head began to ache terribly. What an ache. "Help, mother, I'm sick," it cried. "And my child, you're not sick at all. You're perfectly well. Your headache means you're sprouting." I remember how my head hurt when I sprouted. Now, sprouting is what every acorn is meant for. And if they're lucky enough to escape the cow's hooves and the pig's teeth and the squirrel's hiding places, when an acorn sprouts, its shell splits and the seed within sends a root downward and a two-leafed twig upward. Mother Tree explained all of this to the young acorn. "But that means I will die," said the acorn. "There will be no more me. I don't want to change. I want to stay like I am. Life seems terribly unfair." "Yes, my child, I felt once as you do. But look around the ground, and you'll see some of your older brothers and sisters who refused to sprout last year. Do you want to be like them?" All around were dirty, rotten shells of what had been acorns a year before, but they were decayed, that not even a pig would even notice them. As much as our little acorn dreaded sprouting, it feared that kind of fate the worse. "All right, Mother," it said. "I'll sprout if I must, and if I should become half as lovely and strong as you, I wouldn't mind the pain." That night it rained, and the next day the acorn's shell split open, and it did hurt. And then there came a wonderful, happy feeling to the little acorn. Weeks and months passed, and fall came and found a strong little oak tree, 3 inches high, strongly grounded and rooted where it should be. Today, if you'll visit the spot, you will find 2 trees. One, the older mother tree that had been there for many years. Before many years, it may fall to the ground or be used by woodcutters. Beside it is a straight and slender young oak. Birds perch in its high limbs. Some build their nests there. Others bring interesting news as they migrate north and south. Because it dared fall to the ground, because it chose to give up its coat and cease to be who it was, because it was willing to grow, even though it might hurt, our little acorn is now a lovely tree. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading of his word. Amen.
The concluding hymn is